Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. You're hearing this first as a news update of sorts. Training camps are just about to begin. I am, by the way, Eric Jensen, the host of the End Zone Podcast. Trey Watkins gets this nice little news update off. He's done some great work with some solo podcasts he's done of his own this offseason. Go check those out. There's an AFC South and an AFC North kind of offseason recap. Look around, back on the podcast feed a little bit. This is pretty short. You're about to hear an NFC East division preview. But first, a lot of NFL news has gone down this week, and we will be doing a new show next week. But there's just so much that has happened that I wanted to touch on a few news items right now. So let's start very briefly. Cam Akers out for the season for the Los Angeles Rams after tearing his Achilles. Big loss for the Rams. Akers was a guy who showed a ton of promise, especially in that playoff game last year against the Seahawks. I was a big fan of what I saw from him towards the end of the year. This really sucks. A lot of people are really high on Daryl Henderson. It does not seem at the moment like the Rams are actively pursuing a replacement. Fred Warner gets paid. The 49ers linebacker gets a 5-year extension from the San Francisco 49ers, that worth $95 million. Fred Warner, one of the better coverage linebackers in the NFL right now, a really good deal for the 49ers to keep him employed until 2026. Great deal, and congrats to Fred Warner. Michael Thomas to miss early regular season games. This coming out this morning, Friday. Not sure of the length yet, but it sounds like he will miss at least the next 4 to 5 weeks, which that means he misses the first 1 to 2 weeks of the regular season. The Saints could be a little bit more careful, though, from what I've seen from their beat reporters on Twitter. He might come back week 4, but this is a big, big loss for the New Orleans Saints. A wide receiving group that, to be completely honest with you, is pretty thin once you get past Thomas. Their next receiver in line to be, I guess, considered the number one would probably be Tre'Quan Smith, who showed promise last year, but is not Michael Thomas. This is a big year for Jameis as well. This hurts him a little bit long term. Definitely a situation to keep an eye on and something that could negatively impact the Saints pretty quickly if things don't, you know, get figured out. They could go after a veteran wide receiver. There are still some guys out there on the market. But this one really hurts. And for fantasy purposes, Michael Thomas, he's about to fall way down draft boards. I would not touch him with the first 5 to 6 picks of a fantasy draft, to be completely honest with you. With this injury history he's had over the past little bit, it's a bit concerning. Pup list news comes out. Three big names to watch on the pup list. Amari Cooper picked up an ankle knock before coming into camp. Stephon Gilmore and Saquon Barkley. None of those guys you should be alarmed at. I think most of them will be ready to go by week 1. But pup list, as you'll hear us talk about in this upcoming episode, just means teams are kind of taking it easy. Davante Adams' contract talks have broken down with the Green Bay Packers. Whew. It's a mess in Green Bay right now. A week after the report again surfaces that they offered to make Aaron Rodgers the richest quarterback in the league, he turns that down. I've just been thinking this morning. It is wild how out of control this situation has gotten in Green Bay, because you figure this would all be fixed if the Packers had a solid ownership group and were able to remove Brian Gutekunst, who seems to be Aaron Rodgers' main hiccup. And I'm not even totally for that, but if you have to pick between a second-year GM and your MVP Hall of Fame quarterback, most of the time you're going to pick the quarterback. So that, to me, is just a situation that continues to confound. I'm pretty annoyed by the Packers in general. Our NFC North preview will probably come very last, along with the AFC West, just in case there's Aaron Rodgers movement news. But Packers camp starts this week, so if Aaron Rodgers has not reported by the end of a week, then I think we can sort of take a look and see, well, maybe he doesn't show up. 5 days until Packers training camp starts, so that puts us at Wednesday, I believe, they report to camp. If Aaron Rodgers isn't there on Wednesday or Thursday, it's definitely time to start seriously considering if you're the Packers moving Rodgers, because this is now dragging on into the regular season, more or less. So that'll be interesting to see. But Rodgers remains fluid, and now Devontae Adams is not happy with the Packers. Melvin Ingram signing with the Steelers. Great move by the Steelers. Shores up the pass rush. I like their roster a lot. We'll talk about them more on our AFC North preview, which will come out next week. Forfeits in effect for non-vaccinated teams. If you have a COVID breakout this year and it cannot be rescheduled, and that breakout happens amongst non-vaccinated players, the team with the breakout forfeits the game. The NFL is doing their best to navigate the controversy that is vaccines in the United States of America right now, but basically, it's up to you if you're a player, but if you don't get vaccinated, there are consequences. And one of those is if you come down with a virus and your team comes down with a virus and you prevent your team from playing, you will likely suffer financial consequences and your team will suffer a loss. I can't imagine many coaches will be okay with that. So I'd imagine vaccine numbers go up even if players don't necessarily want it. The NFL is a company. Companies can enact guidelines. So that is something to keep an eye on. Unfortunate news to close out. Greg Knapp, the Jets passing game coordinator, has unfortunately passed away after a bike accident, a real tragedy. Spent his early years as Peyton Manning's quarterback coach in Denver. Rest in peace to Greg Knapp. A sad situation all around. All right, with that, let's take a look at the NFC East, our NFC East preview with Trey Watkins here on the End Zone Podcast. Thanks for listening. Hello, and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. And Trey, we've been kind of recording these things ahead of time and putting them out at a later date. I think the last time that'll happen is today. I actually think I might put this out tomorrow. And I think we're going to have three shows in back-to-back weeks, so we'll have three shows this week, three shows next week, and then kind of two after that. But how are you feeling, Trey? I mean, today the Cowboys and Steelers report to training camp, so we are here. This is sort of it. I feel like the NFL new season has sort of begun.
I mean, I guess this, I mean, it don't really feel like the start. I guess maybe that's just for me because I've been disconnected and out of the loop in terms of, you know, hyping up my own, my whole excitement for, you know, this season. But I mean, it's, you're right, it's technically the start. I mean, I guess we can't count it a full start until everybody else reports next week. But yeah, it's a limited start. But yeah, football is on its way back, which is kind of exciting in its own way. I don't know if that offends you really, because I see you laughing. Look, man, I'm negative these days. Like, I just don't care about a lot of things these days. But yeah, well, enough about me. Football's back.
Well, I'm glad to see Vetrae is continuing on one of the greatest tropes about sports writers in this entire world, which is that sports writers are some of the most cynical people you will come across. And I try to avoid cynicism at all costs and keep things in perspective. But Trey has fully let it consume. So that's good. There's a yin and yang to the podcast, but I'm hyped. I'm going to re-download Twitter probably tonight and, get back to it. And I'm excited. We're back. And hey, I'm even excited for the preseason. I know I shouldn't be, but I am excited for the preseason. I'm excited for the Hall of Fame game. Ooh, think about that, Trey. When is the Hall of Fame game? I think it's like August.
Like in a couple weeks, isn't it?
August 3rd.
A couple weeks.
Yeah. So, man, that is just like 2 weeks from now. There will be the Hall of Fame game. Now, don't expect us to do a Hall of Fame game recap. That,
heck no.
That won't be happening. But yeah, August 5th, Hall of Fame game. August 12th, I feel like that week of August 12th, we're going to be maybe doing a show the nights I don't work every night, just because I want to talk about preseason stuff. And then we'll probably let the preseason go after preseason week one. But
a normal person like you be so excited about
I know it's bad, it's terrible, I know, and I'm gonna say it's bad and terrible once we get there and this will all go down the drain, but for right now I'm just really excited. And we're gonna get back to doing a podcast. I've started to look at my school schedule. I'm thinking maybe we're gonna record on Wednesday and Tuesday and Wednesday nights this year. Feel like those are good nights to do some football attack. Maybe Friday, depends on what we'll switch up a little bit in between, because I am covering women's basketball again, Trey. So I think Fridays might be kind of out of the picture for me again. But oh man, Trey, I'm just excited. Football's here, I tell myself that every other sport is my favorite sport, but this truly, and you can see it from the smile on my face and the tone in my voice, this is my favorite sport. And I'm so happy it's coming back. College football is cool and all, and there's a ton of stuff there that's interesting right now that I'm trying to learn about, because that's much more what I do for the radio side of my job. But ooh, for the podcast, I'm just so excited for the NFL to come back, and it is basically here. Let's get to the division preview. NFC East, where do you want to start, Trey?
NFC East, you know what? Let's start with a team that I'm just not high on this year, and that's the Philadelphia Eagles. Start with them.
All right. I'm going to make you do the hard part then. We'll start a little different this time. You start best offensive position. Best position group.
I mean, I think the best position group on the Eagles is still the offensive line to me, honestly. I think so. I mean, Lane Johnson is still one of the best tackles in football if he's healthy. Brandon Brooks is arguably the best guard in football when he's healthy. Jason Kelce, is a little bit older, but he's still a really reliable piece on the offensive line when healthy. I remember a lot of people were high on Dillard when he was coming out of Washington State a couple years ago as a rookie. He struggled his rookie year. I believe he got hurt last year, but he still has some room to take a jump and turn into the left tackle that the Eagles were hoping for, in terms of being a replacement for Jason Peters. I'm not too sure about their left guard situation. Eric, can you help me out about their left guard situation right now?
Yeah, left guard, I'm not entirely sure, but their guards listed here are Brandon Brooks and Isaac Siumalu.
I think I've heard of that name. I'm not too familiar on him, but I still think that
offensive line. Missed seven games last year.
Okay. I still think that offensive line is three solid starters. Okay. It could be four, including Dillard, if he can clean up his game. So I'm not sure about the left guard spot either. So I think the offensive line is still the best position group on the team. I mean, everywhere else is just barren, talent depth everywhere else on both sides of the ball. So I think offensive line is probably the most reasonable answer.
See, this is kind of where I think we disagree a little bit. I see offensively, at least, a squad that's pretty interesting to me. I mean, they add Devontae Smith, who some considered the best receiver in this draft class. I'm really excited to watch him play. I think his ceiling's really high. I know sometimes rookie wide receivers struggle, but he's a solid piece, I think. Jalen Reagor, he was so hyped up last year, and I think in moments he showed potential last year, especially when Jalen Hurts came in to throw. I thought he played a lot better towards the end of the year. And, you know, second-year players always take that big jump. Dallas Goedert is going to be the main tight end. I love Dallas Goedert. Think he's one of the more underrated tight ends in the league. And then they have Greg Ward Jr. as well, who's a decent wide receiver. I don't look at the offense at all and say they lack talent. I say they have an unproven quarterback, but I really don't think they lack talent.
Well, no, I didn't say talent specifically. I meant depth of talent. Like, I mean, Devontae Smith, you can be high on Devontae Smith, that's fine. I mean, Jalen Reagor has some questions still.
Travis Fulgham has played well when he's been forced to play, and he's been forced to play a lot. Zach Ertz, he might get moved, but he's still on the roster. And, you know, if you look at the running back room, Miles Sanders.
He's good.
Is good.
When he's healthy.
Boston Scott's a good guy to have in there. Jordan Howard's still on the team. He's a decent goal line back to have. I mean, you're right. I'm not saying this is a top 10 offense or anything, but I don't think they'd be totally dead in the water if one of these pieces got hurt. I really don't.
Well,
I just think that they are an average NFL offense.
And that's fair. See, let's just say that there's some pieces there, right? I mean, I like Miles Sanders. I like Devontae Smith. I like Goddard. But everything else, you know, is kind of meh, you know, aside from the offensive line group that I mentioned. I think that's what I would lean on, honestly. Because I'm just not so. I guess I can be a little bit sold on Reagor, but not fully sold on him yet. I'm not that high on Greg Ward, and it's just a mirage of, I guess you say, questions. Gotcha. For some of the biggest pieces on the offense right now.
No, I think that's fair. Worst position group goes to me. Let's talk about the secondary. Aside from Darius Slay, they came into the year needing to upgrade at cornerback too. And James Craig is currently their quarterback too. Craig James. Their linebacking core is also full of guys that I know nothing about. And that's usually a bad thing when it comes to linebackers. Overall, outside of, edge, which is always strong, and inside tackles, which is always strong, front four is still good. Fletcher Cox is slowing down
a little bit,
but still a decent front four. But everywhere else on the defense is not good, which is a problem.
Mm-hmm. Big problem, especially. I mean, I wouldn't say. I guess I would say the Eagles are in a full rebuild mode right now, so all eyes are on Howie Roseman to see if he can fill that roster up and bring it back to the prominence that it once was, which I'm not confident in him being able to do, because Howie Roseman, I think, is a pretty mediocre general manager, maybe even below average. So tough task. It's going to be a lot of painful times this year watching that Eagles defense. Maybe hopefully with some additions over the future, it'll get better. But this year, it's just not going to be pretty to watch.
Yeah. Quarterback outlook. I'm glad this one falls to you, because we're doing our quarterback show in a few weeks, and that's a guy I need to game pass is some Jalen Hurts, because I've seen a few games from him, which I guess is all he's played, but I get varying opinions on him. At first watch, I thought he was decent and deserved a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. But if you look at his advanced numbers and what some of the analytics people on Twitter say, he is one of the worst quarterbacks in the league. So I'm interested to see what you think about Jalen Hurts.
I mean, I got to watch maybe a couple of the games that he started last year after he was inserted into the starting lineup. But I mean, I wasn't really, I guess you say, all that impressed or really blown away with him throwing the football. I mean, which is to be expected. There were some questions about him throwing the football anyways, with his footwork and whatever the deficiencies on film that came up. There were some questions about him being able to consistently throw the football accurately when he stepped up to the NFL. But him as a runner, I think that's probably his strong suit. Real athletic guy. He can really make some things happen in the open field. Plus, he's a bit of a bigger body for a quarterback, so he can move pretty decently for his size, which makes tackling him not really all that fun sometimes in the open field. So I think you can't judge him based on those couple games that he got last year, because it was a crappy situation for him, period. I mean, Carson Wentz was a disaster. Doug Peterson was on the way out. The weapons were falling down, because of injuries and everything. The whole offensive unit, was getting hit by injuries. So it's a real crappy way to, say, hey, Jalen Hurts sucks based on the games that he started last year when the situation around him was completely terrible. So I'll give him like another season or two, only because it's fair and only because the Eagles are going through a rebuild. And because I just really need to see what Sirianni does with Hurts over there in Philadelphia. I've been on the record saying I'm not the biggest fan of that hire. I think, the Eagles really went through with it because of their connections to Frank Reich and how they really are banking on Sirianni being the guy to develop Hurts or whatever young quarterback is coming up next. So you're going to have to give Hurts a season or two to fully, judge what he brings to the table, because what he did last year, I mean, sure, it wasn't, impressive, but it's not fair to just judge him, based on what, the limited action that he had last year, simply because it's the situation being around him being piss poor. So it's a wait and see approach on Hurts. So.
Yeah. Dealer's choice. It is kind of a coaching stuff. I don't know that much about Nick Sirianni.
I'm going to reserve judgment personally until I see what happens. Obviously, there were some other things, but he feels kind of like a placeholder guy. The Eagles have so much draft capital next year. It is really going to be interesting to see where they end up record-wise, because they could be in a very good position next year to draft, you know, a top quarterback and kind of move the franchise forward a little bit. Other than that, I don't really want to spend a ton more time on the Eagles, just because I think we both agree that they're struggling. I'll handle ceiling and floor here. Floor, 3 wins, I think. They have a really tough schedule, Trey. Let me just read you their schedule really quick.
Okay.
Week 1, Falcons. Week 2, 49ers. Week 3, Cowboys. Week 4, Chiefs. Week 5, Panthers. Week 6, Buccaneers. Week 7, Raiders. So it doesn't really get – it doesn't really soften up till week 7, and then 7's the Raiders, week 8's the Lions, week 9 the Chargers, week 10 the Broncos, week 11 the Saints, week 12 Giants, week 13 Jets, week 14 bye, week 15, and then they finish the season, last 4 games, all in the division, Washington football team, Giants, Washington football team, Dallas. It's a very tough schedule. I'm going to say the ceiling is 6 wins. I'd be surprised if they got more than that. But I see them hitting the floor. I honestly think that they're a 3-win team this year.
Yeah, I really agree with you. There's just not a lot of optimism with this Eagles team this year.
Yeah. But I do think that players, there can be a promising player. It's not – you're not the Texans Eagles fans. There's going to be, you're going to see some promise this year. There will be players that emerge as people you want to keep building around, and other players like James Craig that you probably want to move on from. All right. Let's go with the Washington football team next. And I'll take best position group. And you know, this one's pretty easy to identify. Their pass rush in general. I will combine edge and interior in this one. Looks something like Jonathan Allen, Daron Payne, Montez Sweat, who really impressed me last year, and Chase Young. They were awesome last year, dominant, one of the best defenses in the league at rushing the passer. But I don't think there's any real question about it. The front four is the biggest strength for the Washington football team.
Yeah, I agree. They've just gotten continuously better year after year. It's been really impressive to watch.
Yeah. So, worst position group, where would you go, Trey?
Worst position group on the Washington football team. I want to say their linebacking core.
Okay.
I really want to say their linebacking core. Can you read me off their linebackers? Because I know Jamin Davis is there. I know Thomas Davis retired.
Yeah, so John Bostic and Cole Holcomb are going to be the other two linebackers along with Jameen Davis probably starting. You know, I think that's a smart thing to say, Trey. I don't think either of us are saying that's the worst linebacking core ever.
Yeah.
But it's just, you know, Jameen Davis is going to be a rookie. Lots of people are high on him, but still. And honestly, it's gotten hard. Last year, you would have said, like, the receiving core, but they really shored that up this offseason. And last year, you might have also said the quarterback, but they've really shored that up as well. So when you look at the roster, the linebackers really aren't – yeah,
because this is a good roster. Like, I might put the overall roster of the Washington football team around the top 10, maybe 11 or 12. But I think that the football team is definitely a top 10 NFL roster right now.
Yeah, that's fair. It's totally fair.
Yeah, so that's kind of where we're at with that quarterback outlook. That's me. Okay. Fitzmagic. A good pickup. If you look at what he was last year with the Dolphins, lots of people say this and that, and oh, he struggles at points. He didn't really have that last year. Really? I thought Ryan Fitzpatrick's season last year was one of the best he's had. As far as consistency-wise goes, he didn't have any of those crazy – he didn't have a ton of those crazy weeks where he throws, like, four interceptions, you know? So,
yeah.
I thought he looked pretty good, and when he got pulled, it was simply just to see Tua. And eventually, they ended up going back to Tua. He did, he always struggles a little bit with turnovers, 9 games played, 8 interceptions, which, you know, it's about an interception per game, but also 13 touchdowns, you know, 2,000 yards for about half a season. If you say that's half a season stats, times 2, a full season, he probably would have been at around 26 to 30 touchdowns and 4,000 yards, which isn't bad for a starting quarterback that's average. I like Fitzpatrick. I don't know about you, Trey, but I do think that Fitzpatrick makes this team a playoff contender for sure.
No, I think so too. He's probably like the perfect option for quarterback for where they are as a team right now. I mean, they did win a division last year, but they were at 7-9, had some inconsistency on the offensive side of the ball. Excuse me. So, let's be clear though. Ryan Fitzpatrick is a clear upgrade over Dwayne Haskins, Taylor Heinicke, and Kyle Allen. And it's a clear upgrade. And so when you combine that with the weapons that they got Curtis Samuel. They brought Adam Humphries over from Tennessee. I mean, they still have Terry McLaurin. They still have Antonio Gibson. Their offensive line is—it's maybe not one of the best in football, but it's respectable. I would say that could be a real fun unit. Dare I say, fun unit to watch next year, because we don't particularly tag the word fun with offenses with the Washington football team. We just don't do that. We just don't do that a lot. I think it'll be maybe a fun offense to watch this year for sure.
Yeah. All right. Can I steal a dealer's choice from you? Because I do. I had something for this.
Yeah, go ahead.
Conspiracy theories. There are lots of people that think that Taylor Heinicke has a legitimate shot to compete with Ryan Fitzpatrick for his starting job.
Oh, brother.
That seems a little crazy to me, but here's my question.
Okay.
Say Ryan Fitzpatrick, you bring him in and they start 3-3, and you have 3 really good Ryan Fitzpatrick performances followed by 3 really bad Ryan Fitzpatrick performances. Do you think they'd ever go to Taylor Heinicke?
No, I don't think they would.
Interesting. I think there is a slight possibility that they would.
I mean, I don't think that the team themselves, I don't think they're at a level to the point where it's saying, hey, we need to be urgent with this, you know, with this situation right now. We can't waste, you know, what we have right now. I mean, they're still about a year away from reaching to where I think they can really be at. So right. I don't think there's really any need for them to say, hey, let's dump Fitzpatrick for Heinicke and see what we have. That's not the situation.
But isn't it? Because we both agree Ryan Fitzpatrick's not the long-term solution.
No, of course.
Like, if they get 6 to 7 games deep in the year, about the midway point, and you're around 500 or a little bit under, why wouldn't you get a Heinicke? Because worst case scenario is he's terrible and you get a better draft pick. Best case scenario, he plays out of his mind and you get to the playoffs. I just don't. I do think the Ryan Fitzpatrick leash is the length it normally is. I think that if things go average, they could go to Taylor Heinicke at some point in the season. I didn't believe that maybe when the offseason started, but the more I've thought about it and the more I've read coming out of Washington, I sort of believe that's the strategy they're taking.
I guess that's fair in a sense, but me with my thinking is that I don't think the Washington football team are ready to contend just yet. So, I mean, sure, the whole concept of getting a playoff spot and winning the division again is on their minds. Sure, 100%. But Ryan Fitzpatrick still gives you the best chance to win. I mean, that's all it is at this point. I mean, Taylor Heinicke had that good playoff performance in, against Tampa Bay.
Right, but if you I don't think you understand what I'm saying. Okay. If you play Ryan Fitzpatrick the whole time and you end up 8-9, you're not going to have a high enough draft pick to select a quarterback.
I mean, I don't think that's stopping.
And you won't even know if Taylor Heinicke can be a starting quarterback or not.
Okay, I don't think Taylor Heinicke is a starting quarterback,
though. But we don't know that.
But no, he's not a starting quarterback.
But Aaron, we don't know that.
He's a high-end backup. He's a high-end backup.
We don't know that, though.
Eric, I think you're buying.
He's started one game, and he has looked good in the one game he's started.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of players, a lot of quarterbacks start one game.
But don't you think they would give him more than one game to show the organization what he is so they know for sure what he is? He is a total unknown at this moment. You have to play total unknowns if you I just don't understand why he is still on the roster if things went south, what if they aren't planning on playing him at least a little bit this year?
Because I think they're taking the conventional route of thinking like I am and saying that he's a high-end backup and it's good to have a high-end backup on your football team.
I disagree. That's
the conventional way of thinking.
I'm going to say Taylor Heinicke plays 3 games this year.
Maybe because of injury, sure.
No, non-injury.
Or unless Fitz plays disgustingly bad.
You don't think that's a possibility?
No, I don't think Fitzpatrick was played disgustingly bad this year. No.
Are we talking about the same Ryan Fitzpatrick?
I mean, yes, we are. But
that 1 week has 400 yards and 4 touchdowns and then comes back the next week and has 4 interceptions.
I think that's an older version of Ryan Fitzpatrick at this point.
Ryan Fitzpatrick was old when he did that. Ryan Fitzpatrick has not matured, Dre. Ryan Fitzpatrick is not a developmental quarterback. You know what Ryan Fitzpatrick is.
Eric, I'm saying Ryan Fitzpatrick was a turnover, pro gunslinger in the past, that he still is, yes, but I don't think that he's as of a turnover pro gunslinger quarterback right now.
I think he absolutely is. I don't think he's changed within the past 4 years. I think Ryan Fitzpatrick is who he is. I mean, he threw an interception per game last year.
I mean,
he had 2 performances where he threw 3 interceptions. I was wrong on my stat.
Tell me those games, if you can.
Pull it up here. Week 1 against New England, 3 interceptions. Week 4 against Seattle, 2 interceptions. Week 6 against New York Jets, 2 interceptions. Denver, 1 interception. The guy is still the same guy.
Look, all I'm saying is this. I don't think Ryan Fitzpatrick is as of a disaster right now. I think he's probably.
I really can't wait for the quarterback show because I'm going to bring this up with our panel because I think you're so wrong on this. Ryan Fitzpatrick has not changed. He's not a fundamentally different quarterback.
No, I'm not saying he is. I'm just saying I don't think he's as of a freaking train wreck, you know, in terms of turnovers that he was, I guess you could say, a couple years ago. I don't think he's that right now.
But you could make the argument he was a train wreck with turnovers last year. Okay. 8 interceptions in 9 games is a lot.
We can agree to disagree, Eric.
Okay.
We can agree to disagree here.
Give me the floor and ceiling.
The floor and ceiling for Washington. I think the floor is probably 6 wins. 6-7 wins, just simply because the chance always exists, you know, for the quarterback position to go crazy. The ceiling, I think it's 10, maybe 11 wins, because I think that defense has a chance to take a step this year, and the offense is upgraded. Their weapons. So ceiling 10, 11 wins, floor 5-6 wins for me.
Yeah, I think I'd put the floor maybe. Yeah, actually 6 seems about right. I like those numbers. I agree. The New York Giants, best position group.
Best position group on the Giants. I want to say they're not offensive line, defensive line. I think their defensive line is still really – I think their defensive line is really good. Leonard Williams was really, really good last year, and I was surprised at how good he was last year. Genuinely surprised. Dexter Lawrence is good, I believe so. It's a couple names that have slipped my mind that I'm trying to – once I look up the roster, I'll be able – to fully give my explanation as to why I'm really high on that defensive line. Give me a second. It's a lot of useless pandering for me right now while I'm trying to get this roster to load. But give me a second. Oh my gosh, it's taking so slow to load. This is what happens, you know, for an amateur football podcast.
This is what happens when you let the amateurs do it. Let me help you out, Trey.
I got it though. Gosh, this is stupid, man.
I wouldn't have let you struggle that long, but I really thought you were gonna figure it out pretty quick.
Dude, it's gosh, man. Danny Shelton is a nice run stuffing defensive tackle to have along your defensive line, and Odin. I'm trying to figure out if I'm confusing this guy with someone else. Ifedi Odenigbo, I think that's his name. I hope I'm not confusing his name with somebody else.
Gotcha.
But if I'm correct, I've heard some glimpses of him being real. Some whispers of him having some glimpses. Of promising play in the past. So I like their defense line. So that's me. Gosh, that was a disaster.
Yeah, I would say that was a disaster. I love the Giants roster. I'm not going to lie. I don't think they're going to win that many games, but I do love the roster. So I want to ask you what you think the weakest part is as well.
The weakest part?
Yeah.
Now, that's something I think I can – nail down pretty quickly. I already had a position group in mind. I was thinking along the lines of maybe their linebacking core.
Okay.
Or their
I don't know. Blake Martinez was pretty good last year. Lorenzo Carter was pretty promising before he tore his Achilles. O'Shane Zimini's, I don't know how to pronounce that last name, was a rookie last year, so he could get better, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I might agree with you.
I mean, their offensive line, I mean,
I would go offensive line.
Yeah, personally. That's what I was looking to love, and I was like, there's some promising names there. So,
yeah, I think the offensive line is the worst.
Really?
Position? Yeah, they really sucked last year. They were not good. They didn't really add any. So, I kind of think they might suck again. But if you're looking at skill position stuff, we'll bounce around a little bit. Let me do wild card, and then we'll go to quarterback outlook from you. Wild card. Is the running back room really thin? Because I feel like it's really thin. And also, yeah,
maybe.
Can we count on Saquon Barkley being Saquon Barkley? He has struggled with injuries, and he's coming off a serious knee injury. I don't know. He's going into year three here. It's just I think Saquon Barkley is a question mark as a player this year.
I mean, yeah, you had a torn ACL, of course. I mean, players have shown in recently, you know, especially recently, that they're able to come back as close to their past selves before the ACL injury when it comes to, you know, severe ACL injuries. Because it's just easier to repair those injuries and manage those in rehab more easily these days. If it was an Achilles, then I would have, you know, banged my table saying, yeah, big red flag, question mark, because it's incredibly difficult to come back from those. But, yeah, you could still say it's a question mark, you know, even with the ACL. You still count as a question mark.
Yeah, I don't know. I just – in the two games he played, in that Steelers game that he played – he didn't get in the offensive line. Even Saquon couldn't overcome that offensive line early in the year.
In the two
games he played.
That was a dominating performance by the Steelers defensive line against that Giants offensive line. I mean, sure, you can pin some carries on Saquon. Maybe you didn't see a whole right. Maybe you didn't make this move or this cut or whatever. But I don't think there was anything he could have really done, because that offensive, he was getting – you know, touched as soon as he got the ball, almost every single carry he got that night.
Gotcha. All right. Quarterback outlook. Daniel Jones, year three.
It's a big year for him, obviously. Dave Gettleman has made it a priority to put weapons around him. Saquon Barkley's still there. Evan Ingram, when he doesn't have the hands, you know, his gloves aren't mussed with butter, he could be an athletic piece.
Bringing Kyle Rudolph to back him up.
Yeah, nice veteran guy to help him get it, still trying to get adjusted to the position. Kenny Golladay.
Yep.
Legit number one wide receiver. Kadarius Toney. Maybe not the most flashiest of guys, but he still has some wiggle in him.
Little news with him. I don't think it's a big deal, but he was put on the COVID list today.
Yeah, I just saw that earlier. So I don't know. It depends on when he'll be able to, you know, start camp. But if he can, you know, get adjusted to everything quickly, then I think he's a guy that can be a little bit of a weapon for the Giants offense. And even Slayton. Gosh, I forgot his name. That's embarrassing. Forgot his name. Darius Slayton. He was probably the Giants' best wide receiver last year. And he was – I even personally watched him a couple times. He was good. So you have a nice trio of wide receivers, an athletic tight end that's shown that when he isn't getting pummeled by focused drops and inconsistency, he can be a real threatening piece of tight end. And then you still have Saquon Barkley, who, although has a torn ACL – if he does come back to his full self, he's still one of the best running backs in football, you know, just because of how skilled he is. So I think Jones will have to work around the offensive line, of course, like you said, because they didn't make any additions to offset the problems that still exist in the unit. But I don't think there's really any excuses for Daniel Jones this game. Dave Gettleman surrounded him with a nice core. So if he can't get it done, then we're going to have to start thinking about the next quarterback for the Giants, you know, for the future.
We agree, but I have to ask the hard question now, Trey.
Okay.
Do you believe Daniel Jones will succeed this year?
I don't think he will. Okay. I've never been that high on Daniel Jones. Now, I'm not rooting against the guy, but I just don't think he will. He's still a turnover machine. He can't stop fumbling the ball. He still has trouble processing defenses across the field. It's like everything is a step too fast for him at this point. So, and that's not what you want for, you know, your quarterback, your young, you know, supposed franchise quarterback going into his third year. So,
just came across my news wire. Saquon's going to start the year on the pup list in training camp. So that'll be something to keep an eye on. I bet he's ready by week one, but just something to kind of keep an eye on.
Yeah, I think they're taking it slow with him.
Yeah. I don't know how to feel about Daniel Jones. I like his promise a lot, and I do believe in him, to be completely honest with you. But it doesn't show in the way I feel about the Giants. I want to believe I'm in like a Josh Allen place with Daniel Jones from last year. Like, I really want to believe in Daniel Jones, but like all the evidence says I shouldn't. But that said, it wouldn't surprise me if he comes out and becomes like a top half NFL quarterback. Wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't. But I'm still worried, obviously. You know what I'm saying? I'm just
That's fair.
Just in a weird place with him. Floor and ceiling, I'll go here. I think the floor is like 5 wins. I think that the ceiling is the schedule for them is also really tough on the schedule for the NFC East just has a tough draw because they have to play NFC West teams and the NFC South with the AFC West mixed in. So they have to see the Chiefs, the Cowboys twice, obviously. Man, it's just a tough schedule. I think the floor is 6 wins. I think the ceiling is 8. That's where it's just a really tough schedule for the Giants this year. All right. Cowboys. I want to talk less about our format here and more just about the Cowboys in general, Trey. I think lightning round, we both agree that the best position group is the wide receivers. Even though I did see Amari Cooper is injured, is that right? Right now,
he picked up Amari Cooper. I haven't seen anything about that.
He picked up something in training camp potentially. Let me search that up really quick.
Oh yeah, here it is. They placed Amari Cooper on the pup list to open camp.
Okay.
Didn't know that.
Well, remind me again. What is the pup list?
Physically unable to perform list.
So what does that mean?
Geez, there are some weird rules with the pup list. I think teams put players on the pup list to start training camp if they choose so. If they feel like their player, I guess you say, isn't ready to start camp. It's just some weird rules I have to look up again. Once I look up the rules, and I'll get a full handle on it. Because the way that the NFL details the pup list is kind of confusing when you compare the training camp and the regular season. Yeah, it says the physical unable performance is a roster designation used in the National Football League for players who suffer injuries. Oh, injuries during football-related activities prior to the start of training camp.
Okay, so he's coming in with a little bit of a knock on his ankle.
Most likely.
Okay, got it. Makes sense now. definitely makes sense.
I want to talk about the defense, which I know everyone is hated on, and for good reason. But let's take the secondary out of it.
Okay.
Because I think we both agree the secondary is going to be great. And, you know, there's not really an argument to be made. But I don't think the front seven is going to be terrible. I really don't. You know, it's Randy Gregory, who, when he played 2 years ago, looked pretty good. DeMarcus Lawrence, who's one of the more underrated defensive tackles in the league. And then here's what intrigues me. The linebacking core. Micah Parsons, off-field problems, sure. But we can ignore those now. It's NFL, so it's no longer draft season. He was a dominant player at Penn State. He is a dominant defensive piece, potentially. Jalen Smith and Lane Vander Esch, those two are big question marks. They didn't play well last year, but we have seen them play well in the past.
Mm-hmm.
They pick up Keanu Neal, who's a decent guy from the who played decently with the Falcons a little bit. What do you think? Let's just focus on Jalen Smith and Lane Vander Esch. Because let's be honest, if those two can play at the level that they are capable of playing at, the height of what we've seen them do, the Cowboys are probably a Super Bowl contender. I don't think it's crazy to say that. But a lot has to go right, and those two really have to step it up. So what do you think about those guys? Because they did play poorly last year.
They did. And, you know, combined with the fact that Lane Vander Esch and Jalen Smith are both big injury question marks. They've both gone through some injury troubles during their time in the league, especially Lane Vander Esch with those neck injuries, which are pretty scary for any sort of NFL player. So that's one thing to really keep an eye on. If the linebacking core plays up to its potential, because there's so much potential that exists with that linebacking core, like you alluded to, then I think that defense takes a step. Now, I don't think it'll, you know, make them rise to level Super Bowl contender, because they still have issues in the secondary. Some issues still there. The defensive line has some names, I believe. But some of those names aren't as, you know, threatening or dangerous as they were in the past. Now, that's to me, that's my opinion. It could vary, you know, among, you know, anybody else, but that's just my opinion for me. So, plus there's Dan Quinn. I mean, I don't really know what to think of Dan Quinn at this point of coordinating that defense. So, we'll see with what that defense can do. Because, you know, let's just say the defense takes a sizable jump next year. The defense steps up, or excuse me, if the offense steps up and really continues the pace that they had before Dak Prescott got hurt, then maybe Super Bowl contender, because that's just how much skill and how much, you know, explosiveness they have on the offensive side of football. But if the pace takes a tick down and the defense, you know, doesn't really deliver, which I don't think it will even this year, then the Cowboys are a fringe team, in my opinion, between a wild card team and missing the playoffs. Because there's some the difference between the defensive side of the ball and the offensive side of the ball for the Cowboys, the difference is just so great. Like, it's just one extra long bridge for those two units to finally intertwine and create a good football team. So I'm just not all that, you know, high on the Cowboys, you know, even if that linebacking core takes a step up. That's just me, though. Sorry for the detailed explanation, but I got
you. No, it's good. You know, I disagree. I think that this is our biggest sticking point of the offseason. This has been our biggest debate of the offseason, is the Cowboys. I just
Dak's coming back. And I mean, Dak is a top three NFL quarterback. He is.
Yeah.
There's no way to really dispute it. And when I say top three, what I mean is like you can put him in like a four-way tie as a top three NFL quarterback. Because I believe that's how the top three of the NFL really has to go, honestly, because there are so many guys that you can classify as top three. But he's one of those guys. He is one of those four guys. And the offense is going to be special this year. Just is. It's going to be one of the best we've ever seen, I think. And I think that Dak has a legitimate shot to break some of Peyton Manning's records, especially with a longer season. The Cowboys offense is going to drop at least 30 points a week. That's just how I see this thing going. And this is sort of where the floor and the ceiling come in for me. My floor is very high still, 10 wins. I don't really see them winning any less than 10 games unless there's a catastrophic injury. Ceiling, they could win 15 or 16. Eric, man. They are going to be unstoppable offensively. And this is an offensive league. And people are going to wake up at some point. But to say that you think that they're – the craziest thing I think that you've said is the fact that they're a wild card team, because to me, they are the lock to win the division. I like the football team, but the more I thought about it, like I'm never going to bet on Ryan. We've talked about this so many times. When are we going to learn? Doesn't matter about your roster. It's quarterback league. I'm never going to pick Ryan Fitzpatrick over Dak Prescott.
Oh, of course.
Just never going to do that. And Dak Prescott is by far and away the best quarterback in the division. Cowboys take the division. This is where we say how we see the division lining up. I see Cowboys, football team, Giants, Eagles. Football team maybe as a wild card team. I have them at 9-8. But until we do our NFC West episode, I don't feel comfortable giving any wild cards in the NFC just because I think it's going to be dominant the NFC West, which, by the way, teaser next week, NFC West coming at you. We're gonna do the NFC West, and then Trey, I'll give you yours after this, but I just got caught up going. Do you have it finishing any different? I have Cowboys, football team, Giants, Eagles.
I think the division, you know, the race for the division crown will probably be between Washington football team and Dallas, and it'll be closer than you think because the Dallas Cowboys defense is still bad, and we don't know what's going to happen with Dan Quinn. So I don't know. I just can't see the Cowboys winning over 12 games this year, and that's
do they win scenario. The division?
That's tough for me to say.
Yeah.
I would say yes, but I'm just – that all defense right. scares the living crap out of me.
Yeah. Well, that's it for us, Trey. NFC East covered next week, NFC West, AFC North, and we will have a show that weekend because everybody will be back in training camp, and the things we talked about today, like Amari Cooper being on the PUP list, Saquon Barkley, Cam Akers obviously tore his Achilles a day ago. So we will talk about all that next Saturday. All right. Trey, thank you so much for joining me. We will see you all next time. Peace out.